Going to look at a couple of photos, well, pictures that are just on the overhead. Who are these? I can't hear anyone. The Incredibles on TV last night. I missed it. Pretty disappointing. And what do the Incredibles do? Kids, what do the Incredibles do? Yeah, the Incredibles? What do they do, Katrina? They save people, don't they? They're superheroes. What about the next one? Batman! What does Batman do? Saves people. What are the odds? Next one. Superman. And what does Superman do? Saves people. Next one. Bruce Willis. My mum calls him the Spunk. And what does Bruce Willis do? Does anyone know this picture from a movie? Do you know what movie it's from? Die Hard. And what does he do in Die Hard? There's four to choose from. Minus the shooting. Saves people. Saves the world. Next one. Finding Nemo. What happens to Nemo? He doesn't get eaten. He gets captured, doesn't he? So what does his dad do? Finds him to save him. Wow, you guys are on fire. The next one. This is not from a movie. Yes, it's a guy from the army, and this was from the floods. And this was a helicopter that came down and saved people. It's a very good image. And last one. What does the fireman do? They start a fire. They take out the fire. And so what do they do when they take out the fire? They save people, don't they? Yeah, good training. Everyone wants to be saved. I don't know if you've noticed this, but I realise it's in nearly every single movie people want to be saved. It's either the main character saving the world from a nuclear explosion or something, or it's a main character saving the love of their life. But everyone wants to be saved. It's in a lot of movies. It's in a lot of kids' stories. I was thinking of Toy Story the other day when Buzz Lightyear, what happened to Buzz Lightyear? And all the toys work together to save him as well. Everyone wants to be saved. If there's a fire in a house, people want to be saved. The fires 2 years ago and then the floodings that have happened, we hear of so many heroic stories of people risking their lives to save others. Save strangers, save people that they don't even know. And communities come together in a huge time of crisis, don't they? And they all work together to save as many souls as they can, many lives as they can. In the church, as Christians, we know the ultimate salvation is through Jesus Christ, don't we? And we have that satisfaction, we have that knowledge and that we've been set free once we've given God everything. Through Jesus Christ, we're saved. And this is what the Jews were believing when the Hebrews author was speaking and writing this to them. The Jews looked to Moses because he was the one who set them free. He was the one that God used to get them out of Egypt, to save them from Pharaoh, to get them out of bondage, to get them out of slavery. He saved them. And they were looking to him for the salvation. He was the one that God used to give them the law of generations, of traditions, of sacrifices, knowing what to do in order for them to grow with God. So for Jesus to come and change it up is something completely different, isn't it? Sometimes we don't really like change. And when God speaks to us and tells us a new way, it's hard to give up the traditions. It's hard to give up things that we've always done in order to do the thing that he's telling us to do. I know it's hard for me at times. But the Jews looked to Moses instead of Jesus. And this is what the author is telling us, that Jesus is superior to Moses, superior to their traditions, superior to their past. So I'd like to say to you today that Jesus is superior to your past. Just as he was superior to their past as well, he's superior to your past. I know that the word past can kind of bring up a whole different kind of attitudes and emotions. Sometimes it's all happiness, sometimes it's all great memories, memories of lost ones, memories of gained ones. Sometimes it can bring regret, pain, suffering. All of these words and emotions can come from four letters, our past. When a couple of years after my dad had left us, I went to go visit him in Adelaide, and I walked into his house and I was blown away of the amount of photos he had on around of me and my sister and brother and my mum. And as I was looking at all these photos, they were photos I hadn't seen for a while, so I didn't even notice that he'd taken them when he left. Anyways, as I'm walking around, I'm seeing photos of my mum and him on their anniversary. I'm seeing their wedding photos. I'm seeing me, my sister and brother when I was about six and my brother was just born. I was seeing family photos of us all together. And I'd realised at that moment that it was all the old kind of photos. There was nothing really new. And as I was talking to him, I'd realised that my dad was still living in the past. And the times that he'd had of all these photographs were our happy moments, of the times when we had a lot of money, when we didn't have any stresses, any worries of the world, and everything was good. We all loved one another. We all went to church together. We all played together. He drove us to school all the time. It was awesome. But I couldn't believe it because Dad doesn't like to look back on the time that he left us and the time that he started the gambling. And even though he was having a winning streak and we had a lot of money back then, when he lost everything, he didn't want to look through that again. So just like my dad was living in the past, I wonder how many of us still live in the past. How many of us are stuck in the times that were good? Or how many of us are reliving the pain and the hurt that we've gone through, not being able to let it go and give it up? My challenge to you today is, what traditions, what pains, what suffering, and even bitterness towards other people are we holding on to? Watch this next clip.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, that we're in essence his masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso, you know? But I want to be a masterpiece. I want to be everything that God has created me to be. And so I go to him in prayer and I say, God, do whatever it takes to get things out of my life that don't need to be there. Mold me into the image of your son so that I can be your masterpiece.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God.
No, you're not.
Yeah, you just said the prayer, so here I am. That's how it works.
Oh, okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know, if I made it snow in here, it'd get kind of yucky, and I really don't want to do that.
See, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
Yes, I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is a very short book. It only has 5 chapters.
Why is it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh.
Yeah.
If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
You know what? I'm not so much into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
Well, gave it away.
You answered my question with a question.
I did. Yep, I do that. Don't I? Get it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey,
yeah.
What's this about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Oh, okay.
All right?
Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Here we go. Step okay. right up. Here we go. All right?
Whoa.
Yeah.
How do you know what to chisel and what to leave?
I take out all the things in your life that aren't of me, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of that, could you chisel right in here? I just can't get rid of it. I mean, the other went away, but this, I mean, I've tried exercising, I've watched what I ate, I even did Pilates for a while. That was awkward. But if you could chisel,
all
I mean, right?
Can I talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel, talk, chisel.
No, chisel.
All right, most of my children just like to talk.
Not me. Bring on the chisel.
Here we go. All right. You have a lot of anger.
Ow.
Some pride.
Ow.
Compare yourself to others instead of me.
Ow.
You're lazy. But you pretend like you're really, really busy. You have a problem with lust.
Okay. Time out. I do not have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust.
No, I can do it anytime I want. Okay. Wait. Maybe we could take a little time out. I mean, I think I'm doing pretty good.
You are doing good, but when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and others need to see my son. Here we go.
Okay, hold on. Don't take this the wrong way. It's just that when I start looking more like your son, people get uncomfortable around me, you know? I mean, even my friends at church, they're all like, oh, you're holier than thou. Why won't you do that, you know? I mean,
you're doing right now is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
I did not say that.
That's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. I mean, you know everything I'm thinking. I'm just saying, you've done good work. Maybe we take a little break, a little time out. We'll come back to
right?
it.
What you're doing right now is so common. What you're doing right now is called control. Do you want to control things in your life, or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control.
No, chisel.
Here we go.
No, can we chisel where I want, though?
It's called control.
Okay.
You've been holding on to this for a long time. You ready for this?
Hurts.
This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Ow! I don't think you understand this pain.
Don't talk to me about pain. I know all about pain. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. And there are the things in your life, you even think back to high school, that you've been doing that do not work in your life, but you go to these empty wells whenever you're hurting, whenever you're angry, whenever you're lonely and tired, but they do not work.
No, okay. I'm thinking maybe
your
we could...
Your thoughts are not my
thoughts. Oh, okay, but if we went another way,
your
we
ways
could...
are not my ways.
Okay, well, look, I can't be good.
You can't be good. I've made you good. Be good. What?
Nothing.
What is it?
You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, God, I've let you down so many times.
No, you were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand, and don't you forget that. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. Chisel away.
All right.
But just be prepared for what you're going to find in there, because I know who's inside there. Because God, I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror. And it is this scared little kid who gets up every day and tries to dress like an adult and act like an adult, but I can't. So just be prepared for what you're going to find in there.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that aren't out of me. You think you're junk, don't you? You really, really, really think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't make junk. What does that say about me? How can I show you that my love for you has no boundaries? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
God.
Yes?
I was just saying, God, I'll do that right now.
You were just saying my name in vain.
You know what? It's a name, it's a saying.
It's more than a name, it's more than a saying, it's more than a bad habit. It's a name above all names. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket. You know what that is?
This is a page from a journal I had when I was younger. How'd you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie Holland.
Other side.
Sorry. I married her.
I was there.
Oh, yeah. Dear God, today I am turning everything over to you. I'm not going to hold on to anything anymore. Your word says that you will make me your masterpiece and use me to do great things. I don't see how it's possible, but I want that with all that I am. So please do whatever it takes to make me what you want. I love you, God.
I love you too, Tommy. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. So this salvation that you hold, don't let it be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And don't compare yourself to someone else, because that is just trivial nonsense. You are my original masterpiece. You are one of my workmanship, and you I find favor. This, don't look at this as a prison, but look at this as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, it'll be tough. But you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you said yes to me. It's not how it works. I want you to do something. I want you to look up there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy.
No. The way you see yourself or you yearn so much for others to see you. But the way I see you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
So are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
Jesus is superior to your past. There are things that we don't want to give up, isn't there? There's things in our past that we don't want to give over to him. The pains and the hurts and the sufferings. Even some happy memories. There are so many things we don't want to let go. But in order for you to be his masterpiece, he needs to chisel it away. And that comes from you letting go. In verse 11, it said, so I declare an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Jesus promised us rest. God promised us rest. And for us to enter it is for us to let go, is for us to worship and serve him, or else we're going to miss out on his promise. And he doesn't want that for us. He doesn't want that for his people. Believe that he's going to give you this kind of rest that he wants you to live in. Don't harden your hearts waiting for the next opportunity. This is the moment you can move forward. This is the moment that he can start using you into the person that he wanted and created you to be.